All right, Rabbi Say, good evening. Let's begin. So I want to share with you actually a really beautiful idea. So it was Hashgacha that we started the Chanukah tonight. I didn't know that we're having Shir in the Chanukah house, right? The Dunbarton Chanukah house. This could be the new Chanukah house. It's good already in the beginning of Chodesh Kislev. What is Chanukah? Chanukah is 3 weeks from Sunday. In Meretz Hashem. So we have a couple of shiurim beforehand, so now is a good time to be able to, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, mamish. All right, to be able to get into the spirit of the Yom Tov. So Rabbi Nachman here has an incredible idea that I was just so blown away by, and it's so novel and so incredible that I wanted to share it with you. So we'll say, let's begin. So it's just one page. It's on the right side of the page that says Reish Pei Ches on the top. The second paragraph in. Bein Bakosha Slachna B'Yom Kippur La Oras Ner Chanukah. Right, Rabbi Nachman. I will say this, I'm telling you as a comparison that if you ever heard it before, you'll tell me. I never heard anything like this before, so I was suddenly spoiled by it. No. Ki kol echad ve'echad kefi ma'asha zocha lifo b'kashasso b'yom kippurim. Da'ayinu b'kashas slachna kein yesh lo Chanukah. Rabbi Nachman says there is a profound connection between Chanukah and Yom Kippur. Chanukah and Yom Kippur, meaning the more you are able to go ahead and attain slachna, forgiveness on Yom Kippur, that is the level to which you are able to experience the spiritual luminescence of Chanukah. So we'll say, what's the connection between Chanukah and Yom Kippur? Ki ayedei slachna na'ase Chanukah. Because the Rebbe says, everyone knows, because of the slachna, forgiveness, that's why there's Chanukah. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, the Rebbe explains a bit more. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Bikesh, Slach no la'avon hazeh, al chitam ragnu. So remember again, Klal Yisrael sends in the spies, right, much to the chagrin of Moshe Rabbeinu was okay with the sending of the Meraglim, he wasn't okay with the report. Yibon Shalom was disappointed with the Meraglim, but again, Meraglim go, come back, deliver their disastrous report. So what happens? The Yibon Shalom's initial response to that was, I'm going to destroy the people. I'm going to destroy everyone. And what does HaKadosh Baruch, what does Moshe Benu say? Slachna la'avon hazeh. Forgive them. They made a terrible mistake, but forgive them for their mistake. Al-chit ha-meraglim. Va'al yedei chit ha-meraglim, garmur churban beis ha-mikdash. Says the Rebbe, we know that it was the chit ha-meraglim, the sin of the spies, that ultimately caused the destruction of the beis ha-mikdash. And Rebbe said, now what does that mean? What's the connection between chit ha-meraglim and destruction of the beis ha-mikdash? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Jewish people, Aten b'chisim b'chiyah shel chinom, you cried for nothing. Ani ekva lachem b'chiyah ledoros. I'll give you a real reason to cry for multiple generations. Because when did the Meraglim deliver their disastrous report? Ki osa halayla leil Tisha B'Av haya. It was the night of Tisha B'Av. Shebo Nechrav HaBeis HaMikdosh, the same day, thousands of years later, that the Beis HaMikdosh would be destroyed, or hundreds of years later. Moshe Rabbeinu Bikish Alzeh Slachno. So I say, look how the Rebbe interprets just the events over here. The Meraglim go deliver their disastrous report. They come back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to destroy the Klal. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Slachno, forgive them. Forgive them. What happened that, so pause that for just a second. What happened as a result of the Chit Meraglim? Not only were we barred entry into Eretz Yisrael, but ultimately again the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed because of the Meraglim. Remember again, the Meraglim were the ones who established the day of, or the night of Tisha B'Av, as a night of Avelus and Bechi, mourning and crying. So that hundreds of years later and hundreds of years after that, the first and second Batei Mikdash are destroyed on the 9th of Av. So the Chit HaMeraglim results in the destruction of the Batei Mikdash. He says there was something amazing. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Bikesh Alzeh Slachna. Moshe Rabbeinu asks for the Chit HaMeraglim, forgive them, forgive the people. Ki Bazeh HaChit VaPigam Tuluyim Kol HaAvonos. Because ultimately, again, the Chit HaMeraglim opened the door, paved the way for so much other destructive behavior in the future. Ki ayidei zeh hapigam nechrav habeis hamikdash. So I must say, so again, we don't know what anything to do with Chanukah yet is, but here's what we know. We know ultimately Meraglim come back, prevent Klal Yisrael from going ahead and going into Eretz Yisrael. also paved the way for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Moshe Rabbeinu advocates on behalf of the Kohen and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Slachno, forgive them. Now watch the power of Moshe Rabbeinu's request. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, this is so beautiful and just gives you such a profound appreciation for Am Yisrael, for the Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, we were cleansed from our averos. How so? Kimo shekasov tzedek yolin ba uperesh Rashi ki tamid shal shachar hayinachaper al averos shalayla. The morning communal offering would go ahead and take care of the averos from the night before. V'tamid shal bein arba'im hayinachaper al averos shalom, and the afternoon communal offering would take care of the averos of that day. So what's I see? Hear this? You hear the power of the Beis HaMikdash? Every day there's a Tamid Shal Shachar, there's a Tamid Shal Ben Abayim, a morning communal sacrifice, an afternoon communal sacrifice. Those sacrifices atone for the klal. What did they atone for? Any averus you committed over the course of the night were atoned for by the Tamid Shal Shachar. Any averus you did over the course of the day were atoned for by the Tamid Shal Ben Abayim. So we'll say, so when the Beis HaMikdash stood, there was built in twice a day atonement, which means klal Yisrael never went a day without atonement, never went a day without kapara. Ki Yisrael am kadosh l'fi goldo ruchniusam v'dikusam ein yicholim nisa aleim hamasa shel avon afilo yom echad. Because the holiness of Klal Yisrael prevents us from shouldering the burden of sin even for one day. So Beis HaMikdash service had built into it the ability to atone twice a day. Once at night for whatever, or I should say once in the morning for whatever happened the night before, once during the day in the afternoon for whatever happened over that respective day. That was the power of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Anu tzrichin es HaBeis HaMikdash, she'chaper lenu b'chol yom. So I'll say, just so you know, I always think it's interesting. We daven for Mashiach, right? And of course, we all want Mashiach. But it's interesting, to think about, we mourn over the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. But the truth is, after 2,000 plus years, it's hard to really know what it is that we're mourning for. I don't know. If you ask me, does my life feel incomplete without a Beis HaMikdash? No. And by the way, that's not a pegam in me. That's just the reality of how could I feel deficient. It's like saying to a blind person, do you really miss your sight? So a person who was born blind and never had sight, so I'm sure they want to see. They want to see. Although I'll tell you something very interesting. When we had the Deaf Shabbaton for the Deaf community, so it was very interesting that I learned over that Shabbos, first of all, don't call people hearing impaired. They don't like that. They don't. It's very interesting. Deaf, hearing impaired indicates that I'm abnormal, right? I have an impairment. I don't have an impairment. I don't have hearing. This is who I am. But I learned something so fascinating, which is that when you have a deaf couple who has a hearing child, it's a big nisayon, it's a big challenge for the mishpacha. So you would think that deaf parents who have a hearing child, ein simcha kizo, right? It's not like that. It's fascinating. It's a challenge for the family unit because they're part of a community, the deaf community. So to have a child who's hearing, who's not like us, right, is a strange thing. So the person who's deaf, I learned this, it was such an incredible eye-opening experience. You think, Nebuch, they don't have hearing, and they have to walk around life with this handicap, they don't have hearing. No, you can't really miss that which you never had, and that which you've never experienced. So it's not a chisaron in us that I don't miss the Beis HaMikdash, because I don't even know what to miss. But when you read things like this, you begin to at least appreciate the profundity of a Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so imagine for a moment having a place where every single day atonement was effected on your behalf twice a day. Twice a day. You did averus at night, you had the Tamid Shal Shachar to take care of you in the morning. You did averus by day, you had the Tamid Shal Ben Abayim to take care of you. We'll say, that's incredible. That's incredible. You see, without the Beis HaMikdash, is atonement possible? Is atonement possible? Sure. But what? I have to do it. Like suddenly again, it's all, of course it's possible. But the whole thing is on me. The whole thing is on me. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, again, I won't say, let's be clear, it's not a carte blanche to do whatever you want either. But Lamaisa, and when you didn't have Vera, of course, there's always a personalistic aspect of tshuva. But Lemaisa, there was a mechanism that was affecting atonement on my behalf twice a day. That's a Beis HaMikdash. What a cleansing process. What a level the Klal must be on, the individual must be on, when you're being cleansed twice a day. He goes on, he says, Ome'es asher chara Beis Mikdashenu. And Nebuch, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Ein anu yicholim lenakos atzmenu min ha'avonos. We can't get clean. We can't get clean. Without the Beis HaMikdash, without the Tamid Shal Shachar, the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim, without the Karban Chatos, without the old, with all the different mechanisms that affect my atonement, I can't get totally clean. Now again, I both say the truth is, this, we're not talking about Tshuva right now. Tshuva does have the ability to affect this cathartic upheaval. There's no question. But Lemaisa, I don't have these mechanisms now. I don't have the ability. The Rebbe's Lashon is so profound. I can't cleanse myself from the sins. There's no one to affect atonement on my behalf. It's like the Gemara says, like Elazar and Georgia said, right? I could do it, but I have to do everything on my own. It's all me now. So watch this. This is incredible. So the Rebbe posits, Moshe Rabbeinu, in his Nevuah, understood everything that was happening. He understood when the Meraglim came back and they delivered their disastrous report. Not only was the disaster going to be felt now, with them being barred from entering into Eretz Yisrael, but the disaster would leave, today's disaster would have a ripple effect and ultimately would result in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw that with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the very vehicle for atonement and cleansing would be gone. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say in that moment when he realizes that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be gone and all of the tools that we have for communal atonement and for personal atonement are going to be gone? What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Ubikesh, slach na la'avon ha'amazeh. Rabbi Nachman says something amazing. We think that that phrase, slach na la'avona amazah, is a statement of Osai about forgiving the Jewish people for the chet hamaraglim, for forgiving them for the sin of the spies. The Rebbe says, it's much bigger. Slach na la'avona amazah is Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, when the time comes that there is no mechanism of atonement in the Beis HaMikdash, you still have to find a way to forgive your people. Moshe Rabbeinu understands that what happened over here is not just going to impact them in the here and now in the Meraglim, but what's going to impact them is the absence in the future of a Beis HaMikdash. And when there is no Beis HaMikdash, that poses an existential threat to the continuity of the Am. How can we survive if we don't have atonement? To which Moshe Rabbeinu says, even when there's no Talmud Shal Shachar, when there's no Talmud Shal Bein Arbayim, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, slach na la'avon ha'am hazeh. Forgive them. Forgive them. Ki yada, shebezeh ha'chit tali churban ha'bayis, shu kolo kol ha'chatoim, u'chishezoch ha'lifo ba'kashaso, mizeh na'aseh, b'chinas chanukas ha'bayis, b'chinas chanuka, hefech churban ha'bayis. And what Moshe Rabbeinu was able to effect through that tefillah of slach na la'avon ha'am hazeh, the Rebbe says, Chanukah came out of that. Chanukah came out of slach na la'avon ha'am hazeh. Now, hold on for one more paragraph. Look what he says. V'chein kol echad. V'chein kol echad. Kifi ma shezoche lifo ba'kosha slach na b'yom kippurim. Sha'al yidei zeh. Nitakein pigam churban ha'bayis. Kimo ki na'ase b'chinas chanukas habayis, b'chinas chanukah. Now, let me tell you this outside for just a moment. What's Chanukah, right? So the Yom Tov of Chanukah, we'll say, let's take a step back for just a moment. Yom Tov of Chanukah represents what? Represents what?
Rededication
of Beis HaMikdash. This is very important, right? Meaning the essence of Chanukah is a rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. So I'll tell you what's fascinating. Think about this just a moment, Yom Tov of Chanukah. If it's a rededication of the Beis HaMikdash, then what's the Avi Yishayla? What's the Avi Yishayla? On the Yom Tov, what's the Avi Yishayla? What's the not so Avi Yishayla? Right? Let's say, if it's rededication of the Beis HaMikdash, then what are we doing lighting menorahs in our homes? Right? Meaning, the Yom Tov of Hanukkah is, remember again, the Hashmona and the Maccabim defeat the Greeks, defeat the Syrian Greeks. They come back into the Beis HaMikdash. You know the story. I don't want to ruin the story for anyone, right? But you know the story. So there was a miracle that occurred, and they mamish rededicated the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash was commissioned back into service for a couple of hundred years after that. That's the Yom Tov of Hanukkah, a rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. So then what does that have to do with me lighting a menorah in my home? Not only that, by the way, but remember, there's even a bigger kasha, which is an interesting idea. You know, some people are very makbid. You know, we call, a menorah. Some people are very makbid to dafka not call it a menorah. And that's why, again, the term chanukiah is used by many also. Why are some makbid to not call it a menorah? Because menorah is the name of the utensil of the Beis HaMikdash. You actually cannot recreate a menorah outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That is why our menorah has eight branches, right? The menorah of the Beis HaMikdash had seven, right? Our menorah has eight branches, right? So it's fascinating that here again, I'm literally, but yeah, we know it's an indisputable fact that at the end of the day, what are we doing when we light our menorah? What are we recreating? What are we creating? The miracle of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So I don't understand. Hanukkah is a very Beis HaMikdash-centric Yom Tov. So what's the pshat that somehow it becomes ingrained in the bias, right? And there's all these discussions, mahadrin, and a mahadrin. Should everyone light? Should one person light on behalf of the household? Everyone lighting, men lighting, women lighting, children lighting, married people, right? All these different things. I don't understand. This is about the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. I understand. So based on that, where would it make sense to light Ner Hanukkah? In the shul, right? That makes sense. And yet, amazingly enough, right, the shul, the lighting in shul, is not even part of the Ikar Mitzvah, right? The lighting in shul we only do because of persumis, because of publicizing the miracle. There's a whole discussion even about making the bracha on the hadlaka in the shul. So I would understand the chatchila should be in the shul. That's our mikdash shmat. But yet, no, the menorah in the shul is just kind of like gravy. You know, it's whipped cream on top. The Ikar is, so what's the pshat? So look what the Rebbe says. He says something amazing. He says, V'chol echad kifi masha zocha lifa bakosha slach lamim kipurim. What's Yom Kippur, Rabbi Hussein? What's Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur represents the ability to attain complete absolution even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not as easy. Remember again, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, so again, Rabbi Hussein, what was the centerpiece of the Yom Kippur service? Was the Shnei Asirim, right? The two goats. One of them offered up on the Mizbeach, that atones for some things. One of them pushed off the cliff, that atones for other things. So again, I'm missing all of those things. But yet, we know that Yom Kippur itself offers me slachna, slicha, kapara, offers me the ability to wipe the slate clean, even though I don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Kimo kein, na'ase b'chinas Chanukah savais b'chinas Chanukah. Nimtza she'chanukah, so now watch this. So the Rebbe says, what's Chanukah, Rabbi Hussein? What's Chanukah? You see, when the Chashmonaim came in and they rededicated the Beis HaMikdash, they did something dramatically amazing. They showed that you could take something that is absolutely impure and you could uplift it and you could purify it and you could atone and you could make it once again unblemished and beautiful. And that koach transcended the Beis HaMikdash as well. That koach goes out of the Beis HaMikdash. And that causes, you see, when we thought that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we thought that the ability for true atonement was lost. Moshe Rabbeinu foresaw that problem already. So what does he daven for by the Chita Meraglim? Slach na la'avon ha'amazeh. Which means, says Rabbi Nachman, means Moshe Rabbeinu was davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give them the power of atonement even without the Beis HaMikdash. And where does that power of atonement ultimately manifest itself throughout the year? Two times in the year. Yom Kippur and Chanukah. Right? Yom Kippur, the Rebbe talks about this in a different sikha, in a different maimer. So Yom Kippur represents ultimately, again, the redemption of the individual. Chanukah represents the redemption of the home. represents the redemption of life, represents the redemption of family, represents the redemption of lifestyle. So Yom Kippur and Chanukah are two sides of the same coin. They're both the manifestation of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. Slach na la'avona amazeh is not simply a supplicatory plea to please don't destroy the people in the aftermath of the sin of the spies. It's now that the people did the sin of the spies, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, the mechanism for absolution and atonement is going to be gone. But you have to give it back to them. You have to provide it for them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. And when does that power come about? Ultimately when? Yom Kippur and Chanukah. Chanukah is Chanukah's Habayis. Rededication of the home. It's the ability to see. So people say, what am I doing on Chanukah essentially? What I'm doing is I'm harnessing the power of the Beis HaMikdash in my own home. I'm harnessing the power of the Beis HaMikdash in my own home. I'm saying, even though I don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, I'm going to light my menorah, I'm going to do my Chanukah service, my rededication, because I can rely on Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu davened on my behalf that even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, I should be able to rededicate, start again, atone, and achieve cleansing. And look what the Rebbe said, this is wild. Al-Kain. Ramaz Moshe and Allah Hashem, get ready for this. Tziruf Chanukah b'pasuk slachna. Rabbi Osei, get ready. Get ready. Look at this. I'm on page Resh Pei Tessa. I don't want anyone to miss this. Ki slachna la'avona amazek yigol v'chastecha v'chashen asasa hu rashe tevos Chanukah. Rabbi Osei, just so you see how that plays out. Right? Ches, it's out of order. It's out of order, but the letters are all there. Ches is chastecha. Right? Nun, nasasa, vav, v'cha'asher, chaf, kigodel, hey, hazeh. So what's he see? You see what happens over here? Do you see what's happening in this pasuk? Moshe Rabbeinu says, slachna la'avonam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, you have to forgive the people. What does it mean to forgive the people? Give them a mechanism of atonement and rededication, absolution, even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. And what is he saying? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hazeh kegodel chastecha v'chasher nasasa, rashi tevas Chanukah. I'll say that's the power of Chanukah. Chanukah is the answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. Chanukah is the yomtiv that tells us that even though I don't have a Beis HaMikdash, I have the ability to go ahead and rededicate myself. I have the ability to atone. I have the ability to refresh. I have the ability to renew. I have the ability to start again. Even though, again, I yearn so badly every day for my Tamid Shal Shachar, for my Tamid Shal Bein Arba. Because well, can you imagine Mashiach comes and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be here and you messed up over the course of the night and you messed up over the course of the day and you know that the coins in the Beis HaMikdash offering that carbon on your behalf, and you could feel a weight lifted off your soul because you know that atonement is happening. That day is going to be great. Until that day, we have to do the work ourselves. But at least we have the opportunity to do the work ourselves. Says the Rebbe, that's the gadlus of Chanukah. So we see this thing. So if we bring this all together, so that's why the Rebbe begins by saying, Kefima shezocha lipo bakasha sub yom kippurim, dahinu bakasha slachna, ken yesh lo Chanukah. The harder you work on Yom Kippur, that'll ultimately determine the luminescence of your Chanukah. What does that mean? They're two sides of the same coin. If you believe in Yom Kippur, which is the ability to redeem the self, the ability to go ahead and start again and atone, even though I don't have a Beis HaMikdash and its tools, then I could redeem my home, I could redeem my mishpacha, I could redeem my lifestyle as well. But that was the bakasha of Moshe Rabbeinu. Slach no la avona amazeh. Kodesh Baruch Hu, bate mikdash come and go. But kapara and taira have to be eternal. When we had the Beis HaMikdash, those kabbalas did a lot for us. Now we have to do it ourselves. But Chanukah is the great answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. Even though I don't yet have a Beis HaMikdash, I bring the Beis HaMikdash into my home. I bring that atonement into my home. And I recognize that no matter how badly I may have messed up in life, I have the ability to atone, the ability to achieve tara, the ability to start again. Slachna la'avon, Moshe Rabbeinu says, give them forgiveness, and embedded in the very pasuk is the answer. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, I'll give you atonement. I'll give you slicha v'chapara twice a year. Once on Yom Kippur, and second with the beautiful lights of Chanukah. Shukoyach. Beautiful.
But the Chanukah is meant to be the communal approach and the Yom Kippur is individual approach.
I think it's more, the distinction I think that the Rebbe makes, he speaks about this in other essays as well, is more like Yom Kippur is the individual, right? It's me, right? What's the lashon of the Gemara? Kol bo yalam odin lefanav kibnei maror. We come one by one. Chanukah is a din in your bias, right? Your bias represents your connection to a familial unit, right? A collective. It's also your home represents your lifestyle, right? The way that you live. And Yom Kippur, I'm coming before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as myself. The other trappings of my life are not necessarily coming with me. Especially on Yom Kippur, when I'm divorced from so much of what my life is. I'm not with my family, right? I'm not with my spouse. I'm not with my clothing. I'm not with my possessions. Chanukah is just the opposite. Chanukah, literally, the Ikar is here, embedded in all of the trappings of my life. And it gives you the opportunity to lift all of them up as well.
So is that the antidote then to the Meraglim, which was the community and the group and everything together that made them
mistake? Oh, that could be. Beautiful. Beautiful, right?
Two individuals stand out, but the ten and the whole klal.
Right, the klal made the mistakes of Chanukah. It could be that Yom Kippur maybe is like the kapara ultimately again for the individual chatam of the Meraglim versus Chanukah, which is the atom of the klal. Beautiful. Beautiful. Shachar Basai. Incredible, no? And that Rosh Hashanah.
So the back end, it's the last.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't.
No, it's only the back end.
It's only the back end. Slachna Lavon, Ha'am, and then Hazek Gold Chazdecha.
What did the Tamidim do